Good evening, and I greet you all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Tonight's message is a continuation of last Lord's Day message when God called Gideon, "Go in this thy might," to go in God's might, that is to go in God's strength. Gideon was frightened. He was afraid, as we could see from Scripture in Judges chapter 6. He had to hide even as he threshed his harvest. And then the Lord called him, and the Lord said to him that you are a man of valor because I am with you. Go in this thy might. What exactly is the strength that Gideon was supposed to go in? That strength is to go in the Lord's strength. The Lord is with you. That is the strength. But what does it mean, the Lord is with us? Is the Lord with us now? What did Jesus mean when he said to us in the Great Commission, "I will be with you always, even unto the end of the world"? We are not talking about the visible, literal, physical presence of Christ, because he has ascended to heaven, seated at God's right hand. What God wanted Gideon to learn, and for all of us to learn, is the Lord is with us when we hear his voice. If the Lord stood next to the disciples when he walked on earth, it is more than just the physical presence of the Lord, but what the Lord told them to do, and they did it. They believe, and they did it exactly according to all that Jesus told them to do, jot and tittle. And so the Lord is with us today when we obey his holy word. We obey the voice of God, that is the Bible, the word of God. And that's how the Lord is with us today. And that was how the Lord was with Gideon in Gideon's time. Because soon after that experience, the Lord appeared to him and told him that same night, "I want you now to destroy that altar of Baal in the village." And that's what he did. He was very frightened. He had 10 servants to assist him, and he was very nervous and frightened that he did it at night. That's how his name became Jerubbaal, chapter 7, verse 1, which is the same as Gideon. That's how he obtained his name in Judges chapter 6. You obey what God tells you to do, whereby you alone is going to be hurt or injured if they retaliate when you destroy their God, their idol. Thank God he obeyed. He passed the test. God asked him to do certain things. "I'm with you. Whatever I tell you to do, you just do." He did it. Now for the bigger tests. This time round, the Lord is with you. And what is the mission? I want you to get your own people, the Israelites, to believe in you. Because I want you to lead them in battle to fight against the Midianites. This time round, I'm going to put the lives of other people in your hand as you go in my strength, my might, because I'm with you. So Gideon knew this calling to fight against the Midianites. But he was very frightened. We're all very familiar with the fleece incident. He asked for 2 signs on the same fleece. Dry ground, wet fleece. Dry fleece, wet ground. He asked. And the Lord did the miracle exactly according to his request to give him the confidence that the Lord was with him. Just do exactly as I instruct you. And that's where we continue in chapter 7. So now the battle is at hand. He knew he is called. He is appointed by God to deliver his people, God's people, from the oppression of the Midianites. And so the first thing that God asked him to do was to assemble an army. And that's where we get the title, A Lesson on Seeing Faith. What exactly is faith? Faith means obey exactly what God tells you to do. Even though you have not seen it, even though you have not done it, but the Lord said it, you believe it. You have not seen how God created the world out of nothing, you believe. That's faith. You have not seen God's promise of the new heaven and new earth, our eternal home. So God's instruction is, be a stranger and a sojourner on earth. Don't make this earth your home. So live like a traveler, a sojourner on your way to your eternal home in heaven. Have you seen heaven? No. But we believe, and therefore we allow our present life to be lived in light of God's word, in the future as well as in the past. That's exactly what it means. The Lord is with us. Do you believe? That's what faith is. But the spiritual state of Gideon and the people of Israel who were part of his army was at a stage where they struggled to have faith. And so God had to teach them a lesson on faith, that they must see that at the end of this trial, it could be nothing else but the Lord was with us. It cannot be the Lord was with us and we helped the Lord. It cannot be a mixture. It has to be totally the Lord's doing. That's what faith is. It's not a partly faith, partly by sight. That kind of Christian life is unacceptable. That will bring confusion. You cannot live a life of faith in your workplace and a life of sight in your home life. It has to be the life of faith in all areas of our lives. That is what God desired. That's what God wanted for Gideon and his people. Otherwise, the oppressors will remain. You cannot say, I trust God to take care of my family, but I can't trust God to take care of my provision, my employment. And so you use all kinds of methodologies to get your promotion. You're motivated by more money. But at home, by faith. In church, by faith. That kind of life is unacceptable. And so the Lord had to teach them and teach us to trust. And this is more needful now than ever before because of this virus. Many of us have this notion that if I am afflicted with this virus, it is as good as the death penalty. That's not true. But somehow, this seems to be the message that we have embraced based upon our behavior, our action, or rather reaction. You see how all this panic buying, and we buy all these masks and antibacterial wipes, whether we need them or not, we just simply buy them because everybody is buying them, and so we just jump into the same confusion. Where is our faith and our trust in the Lord? That it is the Lord who is controlling my life, not the words of man. Sometimes it appears as if we put more confidence in what people say, in what all these so-called experts say, and what we read in the internet. Total stranger put this in the internet. We do not know who this person is. Even if he says that he is this, 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 and that, you do not know whether he's telling you the truth. You just believe, and whatever he says, we just simply obey and change our present life in light of what they say. Isn't that what faith is? And so now it appears as if we have more faith in what people say, because our present life is now transformed and changed so much by what people say and so little by what God says. That's why we also need to have that kind of seeing faith, a lesson, so that we will be in no doubt at all that this is God with me. God is helping me, leading me, guiding me, protecting me. We struggle with this, and this is to our sadness and shame, that we change our present life more according to what man says than what God says. And that is a poor reflection of our faith in God and in Christ. We read about people who make this analogy, this observation, whatever we call it, or comparison. People in airplanes, they do not get the virus, even though they are all housed in this little tiny cabin. And then people in the cruise ship, so much bigger than an airplane. And then there is this spread and this contamination. Where did it come from? Well, most likely the buffet. There could be so many other things, isn't it? There'd be so many other reasons why those in the plane did not get it. And there are so many countless reasons. But because of that, now we all change in the way that we eat buffet. Right? We wear masks, we wear gloves, and now they say that you better don't talk during when you're queuing up for food. So now we all stood there and don't talk. You look at me, I look at you. How do you know it's the buffet? Well, because the person says, oh, who is he? I don't know. He said it, it passed from A to B to C, and now everybody. And so we even have one couple planning to get married. Plan the buffet. So now maybe he's thinking of changing to bento box. So when you come for the wedding, at the end of it, please go down and each one get one bento box. Or you continue to have buffet. But then how? Get a long line of people to help, all wearing mask and glove, all the else you don't eat. So if the person who served you, no mask, no, are you going to eat or not eat? Well, if I eat, I get this deadly virus. Sure to die. You sure to die? Many of them have recovered. So why are we so frightened and afraid? Where is our faith and our trust in the Lord? Because faith means impact your present life, change it in light of what God says. So now God says to Gideon, you fight against the Midianites, you assemble an army. And he did. Then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the well of Harod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. So they were very close by. If you have been to Israel, you realize that it is a very hilly land. Certain parts are very flat, especially where the valley of Jezreel is, where the battle of Armageddon will be held. But most of Israel is very mountainous and hilly. You can hide on one side of the mountain, separated by this mountain, on just the other side, less than maybe 100 meters apart. And if you were to keep quiet in pitch darkness, you will not know that there are a lot of people just round the corner. That's the nature of that promised land. Their terrain, their topography. And so now you have one army on one side and God's army on the other side, led by God's servant Gideon. Most of them have very, very weak faith or no faith. And so God had to make sure that when the victory comes, they must be in no doubt that it was the Lord's doing and the Lord alone. Not the Lord and Gideon's army. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, my own hand hath saved me. Now that is the first observation concerning a lesson on seeing faith. Hindrance to seeing faith. What is the hindrance to seeing faith? Self-confidence, isn't it true? Fighting. A big army against another bigger army fighting. And if we get the victory, I must have contributed, I must have assisted and helped God. God said, I cannot use this kind of people. It is not me and them. It's me and me alone. And even if I use them, they must understand that it is me alone who gave them the victory, and they did not get the victory themselves. Why? Because the moment they think that way, they are going to be arrogant and proud. Was that not the reason why they were under oppression? Because of their pride and their arrogance? Because proud people will do what is right in their own eyes. You have God's word. When you obey God's word, no matter how ridiculous it might appear to your senses, you just obey it, you just do it, because I tell you, and you do it. You know how impossible it is to our senses to believe that God created the world out of nothing? When our entire world, every aspect of it, nothing comes from nothing. Everything that we see, touch, handle, taste, it came from something. This wooden pew that you sat on, it came from trees. It didn't just simply appear out of nowhere. Our whole world is like that. And then suddenly the Bible says, God says, I created the world out of nothing. You believe? God said so. Ridiculous. No, it's not ridiculous. It's what God says. You believe. That's what faith is. It may be contrary to our common sense. It may be completely opposite of what we are used to. But isn't that what miracles are in the Bible? Supernatural is not something that they are used to, something that you have never seen before, otherwise you won't call it a miracle. Wind and waves, all turbulent, entering into the ship. And Jesus stood up and said, "Peace, be still." And suddenly the wind stopped and the wave just simply disappeared and the Sea of Galilee was like a mirror calm. The disciples were stunned and shocked because they have experienced so many storms before. And if it dies down, it is very gradual. It's not instantaneous storm and instantaneous calm. But that's what the Creator can do. He controls creation. He controls the wind. The wind only listens to one voice, and that's the voice of the Creator, nobody else. Same for the waves. God was the one who controlled all the waves where it will stop. Not the sand, not the beach, not the hill on the beach. The Lord controls how far the sea will move and where it will stop. Stop using signs to explain God's amazing miracle all around us and begin to see the handiwork of God. That's what faith is. And the hindrance to faith is us. Our problem is we think we are so educated, we think we are so clever, and because of that, we think that we have to help God, or else God cannot get things done. And so many churches have used gimmicks. They want to lead people into the kingdom of God by tinting and sugar-coating the gospel. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will go to heaven. What about sin? Oh, that's hurtful. Don't tell them about sin. Don't tell them about death and hell. But that's exactly what the gospel is. That's exactly why Jesus Christ had to come down to die on the cross for our sin. We have sinned against God and we are great sinners before God. And if we die in our sin, we all will end up in hell. Because that's what we all deserve and that's the serious nature of the sin that we have committed against God. Sin against man, the penalty is very light, depending on the nature of sin. I stole from you, I paid the penalty, went to jail for a couple of months, and that's it. Very light punishment, because it's only stealing from man. If I have stolen from God, you think just a couple of months in prison and that will be it, and then pay God some restitution, and that will be all okay? Then we do not know God. We do not understand the holiness of God and we do not know how ugly and how horrible sin is before God. You measure how God punishes a sinner. And if God says when a person dies in sin, he ends up in hell forever. That's how great and serious God look at your sin and my sin. Measure it by the punishment. And God said to us, to the people of Israel, "You curse father or mother, penalty, death. You smite father or mother, penalty, death." That's how serious dishonoring parents are to God. That's how serious our sins are before God. We fail to realize that when we sin against one another, we also sin against God. Even though we may have restored our own relationship, we cannot restore our relationship with God except through Christ. That's why the only way to take the sin that we have committed against God away from our lives is for the Son of God to come down from heaven to die for us. You know how great that price of redemption is? That it has to require the Son of God to become the Son of Man in order to suffer and to die a most painful and shameful death, in order to wipe your sins and my sins away, the sins that we have committed against God. That's the only way. And that requires faith to believe on our part. That's why faith is so important, because if you have no faith, you're basically calling God a liar. Why do you think the Bible says without faith it is impossible to please God? Because you have no faith, that means we don't believe what God says. And if I don't believe what God says, how can you find God to be pleased with your life? How can He be pleased with your life when you don't believe what He says? You want your parents to be pleased with you? Every time you say something, the parents say something, you disobey them? They will never be pleased with you. How can the husband be pleased with the wife, or the wife pleased with the husband, when each time they open their mouth, you do the opposite? It's the same with God. You want God to be pleased with your life? Believe what he says. What if it goes counter to my reasoning? Doesn't matter. You believe what he says. That's what faith is. And that's what the people led by Gideon struggle with. As long as they continue to lean on self and the arm of the flesh in battle, they will struggle in finding God pleased with them. Do you think God is pleased with your life? Do you think God is pleased with your home life? The way you relate to your spouse and your children or grandchildren? Do you think God is pleased with your life in the workplace, in church, all areas of your life? Will he find faith in all areas of your life? Can you honestly say before God that when God will look at my life, turn it upside down, scrutinize it from top to bottom, he will find faith? It's not faith plus self-confidence. And we can grow in self-confidence if we are callous. We must never grow in self-confidence. Confidence in self must continue to be put down. When a person starts in life and in ministry, he has very little self-confidence other than what he does in school. But as he begins to work, he gains a reputation, he gains experience, self-confidence begins to grow and creep in. And God will continue to be pushed out. You begin to do things without prayer. You begin to execute and succeed without dependence upon God until you are stuck. Then you begin to pray. God does not want that kind of relationship where you treat him like an exit, emergency exit, not the main entrance. Feel like it, you take. Don't feel like it, leave me alone, God, I can manage. They were like that. And so now God is about to deliver them. God wanted them to know that I'm going to deliver the Midianites from your life. No more oppressors. You have been experiencing their oppression for the past 7 years, enough. You cry to me, I come and help. But I want you to begin without any more oppression on a correct note, by faith. I want you to keep on leaning upon me, keep on trusting in me, keep on obeying my word, because I'm still with you. You and I have made a covenant. You are my people and I'm your God. And so far your life is not reflecting who I am, because you have not been obeying me. And that's why the Midianites came. But now I want you to begin to obey me again. By faith, trust me. Obey my word. Would you? And so the Lord says, the hindrance is self-confidence. So beware of self-confidence. So how to destroy that self-confidence? Well, God will show us and teach us. God will help us. Now therefore, go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there return of the people 22,000, and there remain 10,000. So his army was 32,000 strong. Not a good ratio. How big was the army of the Midianites? 135,000. Where do we get that number? Chapter 8, verse 10. Okay, 135,000. Now you do some little mathematics. 32,000 against 135,000 is a ratio of 1 Israelite versus 4.2 Midianites. So one fight against 4. That is, to me, a very difficult battle. Do you not agree? One person fight against 4 persons, and they are all soldiers. And if God says, with that kind of ratio, 1 against 4, and I give you the battle, you will think that you help God. I cannot use 32,000. Gideon, reduce them. 1 in 4 ratio, not good. They can't see my hand in the victory. And so, ask them, who doesn't want to fight? Who wants to go back? Well, 22,000 says, we change our mind, we want to go back. God says, alright, send them back. Now left with 10,000. Alright, 10,000. So, God says, in verse 4, the people are yet too many. Bring them down to the water, and I will try them for thee there, and it shall be that whom I say unto thee, right? That's the meaning of the Lord is with you. His word. And that's how the Lord continues to be with us today. You study the Bible, you study His Word, and you obey the Word. It is the same as the Lord is with you. So every time you obey God's Word, you are basically experiencing the presence of God in your life. Don't forget that. So now the Lord is going to tell him some more things. This shall go with thee. The same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. Right? The battle. Right? So one more separation. First, those who change their mind, let them go back. So he brought down the people unto the water, verse 5, and the Lord said to Gideon, everyone that leapeth of the water with his tongue as a dog leapeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, everyone that bow down upon their knees to drink, so the manner in which they drank, God will now separate the two groups. So one group, 9,700, the other group, 300. And the number of them that leapt, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300. But the rest of them, they knelt down, 9,700. And the Lord said to Gideon, by the 300 men that leapt, will I save you, and deliver the Midianites into thy hand, and let all the other people go, every man unto his place. Ratio of 10,000, God says, too big. What's the ratio? One Israelite to 13.5 Midianites. So one person fighting against 13, that to me, it's an impossible number. How to fight against 13? Now, I have not fought for a long, long time. As if I fought before, right? Well, when I was a young boy, my younger brother, we were in school. So I saw a couple of his friends bully my brother, and I beat the two of them up. And so all three of us were in the disciplinary master's office, and we all got caned. But that was my battle. Fought against two. Then the other time when I fought was against more than two. This time was about maybe five or six. I fought against them. I do not know whether I won, but I gave them each a very good beating. Then after that, I took a bus home. I was not a Christian then. Because they wanted to throw me into the ocean. They carried me literally. And I didn't want to go into the ocean because I have only one garment. This was during my NS time. My recruit, on the day of graduation, when they want to graduate, they had a party. I don't like parties, but I went there nevertheless. I was in charge of them. I trained them. Actually, I disciplined them, prepared them to go to the unit to fight. And so during the party, they drank. And so I didn't drink. I can't drink. I'm allergic to alcohol. And so they all got a little tipsy. And they want to throw me into the sea because they were having this party next to the beach, or on the beach, a barbecue. And they carry me and they want to throw me. About five of them carry me, I'm going to throw me into the sea. And I struggle and I start punching all of them. And so they let me down and I took a bus and I went home. That was my last and only fight. It's my secret, huh? 14. That's a big number. But the problem was, cannot use them. Why? Because they will still think that one against 13, we can fight, we can handle, and we contributed to the victory. Reduce the number further. 300. You know what's the ratio? 300 to 1,135,000. One Israelite against 450 Midianites. How many people here? 450? Maybe less. I do not know. Okay, let's say all of you. 400. Me against all of you. Whoa, how to win? How to win? How to win one against 450? If all of you just rush at me, I don't know what to do. I run. I surrender. How to simply let you wallop me? Well, how to fight back 450? But that was the nature of the problem with Gideon and his men. The ratio has to be so ridiculous that if they ever got the victory, one against 450, they will be in no doubt that it is the Lord and the Lord alone who could help us beat the Midianites, because there is no way one of us could defeat 450. It was that kind of ratio. See, the Lord had to help them, literally help them in their midst, so that they will be in no doubt
that this is truly the Lord and the Lord alone who helped me. Because that is the kind of experiences in life that we need as Christians. And they are priceless. And they cannot just simply come by paying some money. It is not something theoretical that you sit down on the beach and then you imagine fighting the Midianites and then you won in your dream. It has to be a literal, physical, visible experience of victory. So that when you finish at the end of the trial and the victory is truly yours, and you continue to hold on to Christ and you trusted the Lord and the Lord really helped you through that difficult time, you know in your heart of hearts that the Lord had been so good and so merciful to see me through this terrible, terrible adversity. And that's why 300. So the people took victuals in their hand and their trumpets, and he sent all the rest of Israel, every man unto his tent, and retained those 300 men, and the host of Midian was beneath him in the valley. So the first thing we see after the hindrance to seeing faith is the help that God gave. The first kind of help has to be internal. You have to know in your own heart, in your own life, that the Lord is the one who is with you to help you. But Gideon was still frightened and nervous. Could you blame him? He was not bringing them to a church camp. He was bringing them to battle. And with 300, and the Midianites, they were all trained soldiers. They were very well armed. And they outnumbered them 300 to 1,000 to 135,000. People could die. Fathers and sons, they put their lives in Gideon's hands. And so even though God helped them from within by reducing the number and with his assurance that I will give you the victory with these 300, that's what God says, right? In verse 7, with these 300, I will deliver the Midianites into your hands. So God did give him the word. And the word of God is equivalent to the Lord was with him. And you are now the man of valor because the Lord is with you. So the definition of a strong, courageous Christian is the presence of the Lord, which means every Christian. You know that, right? Because Jesus says, I'm with you always. So you are already a man of valor because the Lord is with you. Now the question is whether you believe in it, whether you exercise faith and turn that into a reality, into a day-to-day experience. That's up to you. But you are, as far as God is concerned, already a man and a woman of valor. Because the Lord is with you. Not your money, not your education, none of these things. Because it's a spiritual battle from beginning to end of your life in Christ. And so the Lord gave him one additional help, but this time from without, from the enemy, from outside. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said to him, arise, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered it into your hand. That is the 135,000 Midianites. But if thou fear to go down, you see, the Lord knows Gideon was still nervous, frightened. Go thou with Purah, thy servant, down to the host. You go down now, just the two of you. Just the two of you, like spies. You go down quietly into the camp of the Midianites. They're separated by just a hill, a mountain. A small, low mountain, a hill. Plenty of them in Israel. Those who have been there, you would testify of that. And thou shalt hear what they say, and afterwards shall thy hands be strengthened to go down unto the host. So what you hear from them will give you that additional help from the Lord. So one from within, and one from the circumstances without. To give you that extra push to strengthen your faith, to trust in the Lord, to take 300 men, and to fight against 135,000 Midianites. I am with you. Because I want you to know that the victory is assured, but don't just simply experience the victory. But I want you to have a better, stronger, more important experience that I am with you. The victory is easy. Trusting in the Lord is the hard part. Because that's your problem, Israel. That's why the Midianites oppress you for the past 7 years. Lean on me. Trust in me. And so he went down, and the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for multitude.
and their camels were without number, as the sand by the seaside for multitude. So he witnessed this mighty army, innumerable. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow, who gave the dream God, and said, behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian, and came unto a tent, and smote it that it fell, and overturned it, and the tent lay along. And then this fellow was able to interpret the meaning of this dream. This is nothing else save the sword of Gideon. So this cake of barley bread that tumbled in, he understood this as the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel, for into his hand had God delivered Midian and all the hosts. So from the lips of the enemies themselves, God gave Gideon that additional courage to trust him and to obey him. So the help from the Lord, first from within, just you, the word of God, and the Lord. And then from without, the circumstances, the people, what they say and what they do. And the Lord will bring a good and clear deliverance. Because the Lord wants you and me to experience His presence in your life and in my life. That is what faith is. That is what spiritual maturity is all about. Because the more you experience the presence of God, the stronger you become, the harder it is for the devil to succeed in luring you away. Very often, when you look at the lives of God's servants, God's people, when you look at Paul, he endured so much persecution. He endured so many attacks, including the attack on his body and his apostleship. Do you know that he was not concerned one bit about his own faith and his trust in the Lord? Because he has experienced so much of the presence of God in his life that no matter what the devil will do to him, you take away his possessions, take away his freedom, even take away his life, he will never stop believing and trusting in his Lord. When he wrote those epistles to protect and defend and argue against the legitimacy of his apostleship, whom do you think he did it for? Did he begin to doubt his own salvation and his ministry? Not one bit. He penned all those arguments because he was very fearful that the Christians in Corinth who had been attacked, they might succumb to the attack. They might believe the enemy because they did not have that kind of spiritual maturity, the presence of the Lord in their lives the way the Apostle Paul had. That is usually the struggle and the fear of leaders. That's what he shared. On top of all the physical pain he had on his burden, his shoulders, the cares of all the churches. What care? The concern that they will give up the faith. They will no longer be holy witnesses because of the attacks that continue to come nonstop. How will you be strong in the Lord? How will I be strong in the Lord? By experiencing the presence of the Lord. And the experiencing the presence of the Lord is obey God's word. Obey God's word requires simply what? Faith. That's why it is so important for us to have faith in this age and in this time. And there are something that is much more detrimental, much more sinister than this virus. And that is sin. That is the spiritual deception that is so pervasive in Christianity today, where billions of professing believers really sincerely think that they're going to heaven. They come from the Roman Catholic Church, they come from the charismatic churches, they come from the new evangelical churches who believe the Bible has mistakes, and there are many of them, and all of them believe that they are going to heaven. All of them are thinking that when the Lord returns, it will be a wonderful time and not a time of great condemnation and rebuke. But that's exactly what they're going to get. And in that kind of environment, God wants us to have faith so that when we go through experiences, we will see clearly the hand of God in our deliverance and our victory. And that's what he wanted for Gideon and his 300 men, so that not only them, but all the rest of the tribes that were under the yoke and oppression of the Midianites will also see the same. Because their fathers and their sons will go back and tell them, go back home to their respective tribes and their families, God help us. God was the one who delivered us. There were only 300 of us, but we defeated the 135,000 strong Midianites. The Lord did it. The Lord did it. Imagine the 300 witnesses will go back, and then they will spread this wonderful, wonderful news, and that in turn will strengthen the faith of not only Gideon and the 300 men, but all the rest of the tribes that were under the oppression of the Midianites. And that's what we need too. So that you will testify and tell people that by faith, it is so wonderful to believe in God and to live a life of faith and to know that God is with us. The presence of God is with us all the time. Whenever we obey the word of God, it's the same as the Lord is with us. And we have tasted, we have experienced it again and again and again. And there are so many experiences that we could share with you concerning this in our church and in our lives. And I'm sure you have your own testimony to share. Please share. Just as God wanted Gideon and the 300 men to share, so that others who are young and weak in the faith may also learn to experience how good and how wonderful it is to have Jesus Christ as our Lord and as our Savior. Because when the Lord is with us, nothing can happen to us without His permission. Rest in Him and Him alone. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we have the abundant life, a life that is safe and secure even unto eternity. For nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Not death, not poverty, not famine, not even principalities, and not even the devil himself. What a wonderful salvation that we have in our Savior. Help us therefore, O Lord, as we wait for the Lord's soon return, to live a life of faith, trusting in Him through the study of His holy word. We continue to obey God's holy word, every jot and every tittle of it, so that this life that we live may grow from strength to strength as we grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ through the experiences of His abiding presence, through our obedience to His holy word. Forgive us, O Lord, of all our sins, for the many times when we have not studied Thy word the way we ought, and we have not lived our lives according to Scriptures, even though we may know it, but we have not translated it and transformed it into experiential knowledge. We thank Thee, Father, for the record of this incident in Gideon's life and their conquests over the Midianites who outnumbered them, one Israelite to 450, so that they might see the victory as from the Lord and the Lord alone. We pray, O Lord, that we too may have many of such experiences in life, that we may see the very hand of God leading us, guiding us, protecting us day by day, step by step, challenge by challenge, so that we may be a holy and a godly witness for our Savior, especially in these last days. We pray especially for those who are young in the faith, that Thou would teach them the life and example of Gideon, that they too may have a love for Thy truth, and when they obey Thy truth, they will also grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Savior, like Gideon did, and like many of Your children continue to do today. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for Thy glory, in Jesus' name. Amen.